I realize that there are a few of you out there who enjoy the rain and the gray days, but I've enjoyed these sunrises yesterday and today. I haven't been seeing those lately. This morning especially must have been very clear. House just lights up as the sun rises. And not so much this morning, but now if you go out there, the sun is warm. I love the way that feels against my skin. But could you imagine, and you'd have to imagine this, someone lived in an underground city? I don't know, think some weird apocalyptic movie where everyone had to go underground because, you know, the earth was all messed up on top. But they lived in an underground city. They were born and raised in an underground city. They would have never seen the sunrise. How would they know what the sunrise is? Well, maybe someone can tell them, but it wouldn't be the same. There would be a lack of comprehension. Maybe someone would tell them, oh, you see that one light in the cafeteria there, how when it's off and then it gets turned on, it takes a little bit of time to come on and it gets brighter. Well, it's like that. So they're thinking of the sunrise like a giant light bulb. But there's no warmth. There's no glow. It's not the sun. It's not the same thing. But they only know what they only know. And they don't know what the sunrise is. That's how it is with love. I think that most people love. Most people say they love, think they love, and they do love. The question is, with what kind of love are they loving? And the answer is, with the kind of love that they know. Now, granted, with a sunrise, there's nothing that you're then doing or whatever, but if you don't know the sunrise, you don't know the sunrise. Whatever love you know, that's what you call love, and that's how you're going to love. Everyone talks about love, everyone says love, we should love, let's love, but how? What is love, and how do we love? Is China a loving place? There's all kinds of censorship, brainwashing in essence, one-child policy, oops, no, now it's a two-child policy because we don't have enough young people to take care of the old people. Let's ignore all the children that were left out in the elements to die because we had a one-child policy. I mean, is that a loving country? Is that love? Is lying to your children love? Parents lie to their kids all the time. For their benefit. For their good. That's loving, right? I don't have a lot of very young age, memories from my young age, but I have one. One day my blankie was gone. This is pre-6 years old. My blankie's gone. I remember it had a lot of holes. It's pretty ratty looking. It was gone. Mom said she didn't know where it was. Didn't know what happened to it. She wanted me to be done with it and move on. That wasn't true. She also lied about a guy in a red suit. For years, maintained that. Because it's fun for the kids, right? What is love? Well, you're going to define it by whatever you know to be love. We love to say it's my parents' fault. Well, in some cases, to a certain degree, it's true. We're probably going to show love like whatever kind of love we received in whatever home we grew up in. That's it. Because you only know what you know. If you've never seen the sunrise, you don't know the sunrise. And you can't even explain it. What does this have to do with Christmas? The birth of God's Son. The sunrise, so to speak. reveals the love of God. It's there all along, Old Testament, as Mike was reading from it. It's there all along. It's always existed, because God's always existed. But the expression of the love of God is in the birth of God's Son. God become a man, Jesus. We can say we're loving, we love, we know what love is, but there's only one way to know the love of God. And that's in God incarnate. God become a man. Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. That's the only way. And the love of God is anything but the way we think when we think of love. We're human. God is God. So we use the word love all the time. We're surrounded by it. Sometimes we're using it in the right context. Sometimes we're not. Oh, I love a good cup of coffee in the morning, watching the sunrise. I love my kids. Love one another. But the love of God is particular. And it is so beyond us. It has taken the Son of God becoming a man for us even to glimpse it. The person describing sunrise, it's not a light bulb. Right? It's not like that at all. So I want us to briefly consider the love of God and its out of this world reality that is only known in Christ. We all want to be loved. We tend to say we're to love one another, no matter where you find yourselves this morning or wherever people are at. But what is the love of God? We're in Ephesians this morning. We're going to hop around a couple of passages in Ephesians. Going to start out in Ephesians 1. There's an outline for you that's mostly there to help you with the verses. There's some cross references. I'm going to stick with Ephesians this morning, chapter 1, starting there, verses 3, 4, and 5. When I tend to think of the word love showing up in a letter, I tend to think of 1 John. But it appears again and again and again in this letter. Why? Because to talk about Christ is to talk about love. To talk about the love of God, you must talk about Christ. Romans 5, 8, God demonstrates His love for us. And while we were yet steeped in, entrenched in, enjoying in, reveling in our hatred for God and our rebellion against Him, Christ died for us. Christ, God's Son, God became man. In order to die for us, He had to be born. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be, when aimed at God, it means praise. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be homely. I got that one covered. We should be holy and blameless before Him. Now, the last couple words there go with the following verse. In love, He, that's God the Father, predestined us, speaking of those who have faith in Christ, Paul's writing to the Christians in Ephesus, predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. What we find out here about the love of God, and this is sort of a no-brainer one, but we have to realize this by way of contrast. Its origin, love, where that even comes from, the idea, the concept, its origin is with God. The source is God. Verse 4, the end of verse 4 into verse 5. In love, He, God the Father, predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. The predestined word there has to do with ahead of time, determining and choosing ahead of time. In other words, before we ever were, God was, and God was love. Now He still is, and He still is love, but He was love before any people ever existed. This is where a Trinity comes in. Only religion with the Trinity. Biblical Christianity. Biblical Judaism scratches their head at a number of passages in Scripture, and they don't know what to do with it. It's not until God the Son is born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled literally beyond literally, and then is marred beyond recognition, dies, and is raised, Isaiah 52 and 53. Then He speaks to the disciples. Then He ascends. Then the Holy Spirit comes. Then it all starts to come together. But biblical Christianity, when you have the New Testament, you come to find out that indeed God is one. He is an inseparable unity. And yet He exists in three distinct persons. You say, how can that be? How can God be? You like the idea of a God who's only a single God? You don't like the Trinity? Well, you have no problem with Him always existing? Then why do you have a problem with Him existing in a reality, a personal, unified, inseparable, yet distinct reality that you can't explain? If we can explain God, we must be God, or we've made God like us. He is anything but like us. This is important because before there ever was the earth, before there ever was Adam and Eve or any people, there wasn't God sitting alone, pining away, going, oh, I wish I had someone to love. Oh, I'm so lonely. What am I going to do? Let me make something, someone to love. No. He is as He was. He was as He is. There's no changing in God. People love to quote that. God is love. I think that's 1 John. I can't remember right now. Right? God is love. We just read it. God is love. Well, God was love. God has always been love. We weren't created so that He could finally have someone to love. God's love, His reality, was, we would say, expressed in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit. Notice down in verse 6, Jesus is referred to as the Beloved, the Loved One. The Loved One has come so that those whom God chose ahead of time for adoption as sons, don't be offended by that, lady, it means everyone gets the place of firstborn son after the Son, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, God's Beloved. So the Beloved has come that those whom God chooses for adoption as sons would come to know His love. Love starts with God. He is the source. He is the origin. We only know human love. God's love is not human. It's not inhuman. It's supernatural. It's divine. We understand the importance of source, right? You pick up that bottle of spring water. You're assuming it comes from a beautiful, wonderful, natural spring. And some of the bottles will say that. Oh, this was bottled on the cool mountainside where the spring bubbles forth and yada, yada, yada. We like this idea of this pure source when it comes to our water, right? You don't want to pick up a dingy, nasty looking bottle that says, oh, we got this down next to the sewage plant in San Francisco. The source matters. That's where it starts. That determines everything else. When it comes to love, the ultimate love, true love, the love of God, biblical love, you start with God. Because it starts with Him. What about the basis for receiving it? Verse 4, 5. He predestined us for adoption. He determined ahead of time those who would become His sons in His beloved Son, God become a man. But how is that determined? Well, that's where you get to us, right? Well, sure, love starts with God. But now experiencing the love of God, receiving the love of God, and knowing the love of God, that's on us, right? No, chapter 2 of Ephesians. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, starting in verse 1. And you, speaking to the same Christians in Ephesus, who are adopted through Jesus Christ, blessed in the Beloved. He says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. All you knew is what you knew, and that's how you lived. Following the prince of the power of the air, the reality is there's a satanic reality. A spiritual reality. You're following the prince of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we, now Paul's including himself because he must, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Reminder, wrath is not God losing control of His emotions. It's the justice of God brought about. You say, how are we children of wrath? Right now, how are people who are dead in their rebellion against God children of wrath? Because they're dead. They can't understand things. They have no comprehension. Romans chapter 1, they have a darkened view of things. So they call that which is evil good and that which is good evil. You know what that means? That means their version of love is whacked, twisted, warped. It's on its head. Example. Well, my six-year-old identifies as a girl. So let's put my six-year-old on hormone therapy. And let's give my six-year-old untested, untried drugs that we don't know a whole lot about. Let's put my six-year-old on these drugs, even though we now have adults who are saying, I wish I never took those drugs. Let's put my six-year-old on these drugs because my six-year-old identifies as such and such. And I want to allow my six-year-old to be what my six-year-old wants to be. That is not love. But it's couched as love. And from their perspective, it is love because of how they define love. What do they start with? Where do we all start with apart from having seen the sunrise? With what we know, because that's all we know. Now, there are some non-Christians speaking out and saying this amounts to child abuse. We need to stop this. We're confused. We're perverted. We're twisted. I mentioned it before. A retired women's cycling champion speaking out against men who say they're women now competing against women. And what has she said? She said, the biology, the science, it's there. Once a man goes through puberty, doesn't matter if he starts taking any kind of suppression hormones or whatever, the muscle density, the endurance, the strength, there's an advantage in the man. That's right, because it's by design. He's not better than the woman, but he's different. But we've got it all twisted around. Perverted on its head. And that's what we all do, apart from having seen the sunrise. Apart from being alive in the Beloved, in the Son. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived and the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We don't call evil evil and say, but we're going to do it. We call it good. Really, it's okay now to light up and smoke things. Even though a handful of years ago, big tobacco was bad and all smoking was bad. But now, you know what? It's okay. Recreationally. Let's decriminalize it. Let's say it's good when it's not. This is true of everyone. So how does anyone end up adopted in the beloved? How does anyone end up a recipient of someone who knows and experiences the love of God? Verse 4, chapter 2 of Ephesians. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us. That's not because of His love for us, but because of the love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, rotten to the core in our hatred for Him, rebellion against Him, rejection of Him, denial of Him, dead in our trespasses, even when we were dead, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in Him. The basis for coming to know, experience, receive the love of God is the love of God. Verse 4, because of the great love with which He loved us. Chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, in love He predestined. It goes right back to the source. It's dependent upon Him. The basis, the reason, the grounds for knowing the love of God is the love of God. It's on Him. He makes alive in Christ, in the Beloved, whom He chooses. This is not how we normally think. Right? You know, someone's coming to town, and he's got a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Those who are naughty, you get coal. And those who are nice, well, who knows what nice, bright, shiny things you might get. But we all deserve coal. There's not one righteous, no one who seeks God, no one who knows, no one who understands, Romans chapter 3, their mouths are like open graves. See, we open our mouths and the stench of death comes out because we're dead. The only way to be alive is in Christ. The only way to be one who is brought alive in Christ is God's predestination, choosing ahead of time in love, the love with which He loved us. It gets back to Him. It's on Him. In other words, it's not conditional. But the only love we know of apart from the birth of God the Son, the Messiah, the Christ, is a conditional love. You think, well, that's not true. Parents make sacrifices for their children all the time. Really? But who is it for? Is it for the children? Or is it for themselves? You see, we're so twisted in our thinking, we'll call evil good and good evil. We'll be after our own, passions, the desires of our body and our mind, verse 3, no matter what we do, even in the most wonderful things we might do. We have ourself at the center because that's all we know is self. All we know is what's human. That's our reality if we don't know the love of God. which is only known in the birth of His Son. Okay, but you have to receive it, right? Faith. Verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. We have faith. Yes. This is not your own doing, verse 8, is the gift of God. The reception, how one ends up receiving and knowing and being an object of God's love, guess what? Is back on God. It starts with God. It's because of God. It's by God. We see this in Ephesians. You see it in chapter 1. We see this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. We also saw this as we were going through 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But sticking here just with Ephesians this morning, keeping it really simple and streamlined, Paul in 14 to 19 is praying for the Ephesians, the Christians in Ephesus. And notice what he's praying. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. This is verse 14, chapter 3. And what is he bowing? He's bowing his knee. It means he's praying. What's he praying for? For, verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How does the Christian come to comprehend, to know the love of God? The love of Christ? They already know it, but they come to more fully comprehend it and understand it by a work of the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit, verse 16. Love starts with God. Love is experienced because of God's love. The basis for it is God's love. No matter where you turn, it's back on God. Look at that. And now, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Wait a second, then how am I going to know it? Back up to verse 16. He may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being. The Spirit works. It involves what we call knowledge. That Jewish carpenter? Yeah. The one born to Mary? Guess what? He is actually God incarnate. God become man. He is the Messiah. Yeah. He was crucified, but he rose on the third day. And he's going to come back to judge the living and the dead. That's knowledge. That's facts. That's information. But to comprehend the love of God in the gospel is a work of the Spirit. We don't receive because of ourselves the love of God. The basis is God's love. Nor do we come to understand and experience it, to receive it as our own, to have faith in Christ on our own. But that gets back to the love of God. We don't get there by logic. We don't get there by reasoning. A PhD won't get you there. Lots of experience in life, life skills, and don't get you there. It's got to be a work of the Spirit. A work we don't deserve in us. God freely chooses to do in us on the basis of His love, demonstrated and revealed and brought to us through the birth of God the Son, who demonstrated the love of God in His life. Gospel of John. The Father loves me and I love the Father. In this you know that I love the Father. I do the Father's will. But then He went and became cursed on a tree. Became sin, though He Himself knew no sin. It all comes back to Jesus. In some ways, the words up on the screen earlier are true. Love and Christmas. I think there's a movie, Love and Chocolate. I'm not relating this to that at all. Love and Christmas. Not the conditional love of the guy in the red suit. The perverted and twisted love of all of us apart from knowing the love of God. But that's, in a sense, what was born or manifest among man when Jesus was born. Love. The sun rose. And those living in darkness for the first time now had the ability to behold the sunrise. Let me restate that. They had the opportunity to behold the sunrise. The ability depends upon God in love, granting it or not. We throw the word love around 99.9% of the time. If I was a wagering man, I'd wager we're not talking about the love of God. We're talking about a human love, an earthly love, a natural love, not supernatural. One that's given based upon human things, human desires, human wants. One that is received based upon human understanding or human activity. But that is not the love of God. And Christmas should be to us yet another reminder. Not that we should forget this every other Sunday or every other day of the week if we ourselves are Christians. Another reminder that love, God's love, is not anything like our love. Our love is like a light bulb in an underground city compared to a sunrise. It really doesn't express it. It doesn't reveal it. Only Christ does. That then becomes the basis for the love to which Christians are called to. I'm not going to go far on this, but Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Look at this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Tense. Present, future, past is critical. It's present tense. This is a call to Christians, to God's beloved children, who are His beloved children in His beloved Jesus. As beloved children, not to become beloved children, not because you were beloved children, not because you will be beloved children, but because you are beloved children, meaning because you know the love of God. Not the love of your mom, dad, grandmother, aunt, spouse, kids. Not because you know the love of the world, because you know the love of God. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We're also immersed in the constant call. Everyone says it, like, love everyone, love everyone. How? Well, that depends. What love are we talking about? If we're talking about the Christian love, the love that Christians are called to, then it must be the kind of love with which we are loved. If you're a Christian, do you know what kind of love you've been loved with? Paul in verse 11 of chapter 2 says, remember. Verse 12, remember. We looked at this already last week. we're to remember not only that we have peace with God in Christ, but we have peace as we have the love of God upon us. Not the kind of love that we normally mean when we talk about love. As Christmas comes upon us, that is something we should be remembering along with the peace. And that peace and love, those words, are not what are usually meant when they're talked about or plastered on cards or commercials or whatever else it might be. That also means, particularly here at the issue of love, that the love we're called to is not the love our parents loved us with, or spouses loved us with, or love us with, or kids love us with. It's the love Christ has loved us with. The love of God. That is to transform, mark, characterize everything we do. But we first must know it. One of the most common instructions that come here in chapter 5, actually 4 and 5, has to do with speaking. What we say to one another is to demonstrate and express the very love that we know in Christ. That's a tall order. But the Spirit is at work. Verse 16, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. First to understand, and then inseparable from true comprehension, is to live. In this case, we're talking about love, which is foreign to us in everyday life. I don't think we can come up with a different word. That would be nice. But given that we're probably not going to change our vocabulary, what must happen is we must go, wait a second, what kind of love are we talking about? I love chocolate. You're talking about the very character of God expressed in your desire for chocolate? Some of you are thinking, yeah, and no. Right? And in a society, culture, reality that is freely expressing a twisted love, we must remember, understand, be mindful of, and hold fast to love as God defines it and has made it known in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I am guilty. I use the word love all too often in the wrong sense. My default is to think about me. And while maybe my parents facilitated that, they're not to blame any more than I am. Guilty is charged from birth. Dead. Darkened. Incapable of knowing You and being right with You in and of myself. Oh, indeed, blessed be you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To you be the praise. For you have made love known. In a way that we never would imagine and could ourselves never ever accomplish. Thank you that your Son set aside His eternal, glorious reality in heaven to become a person, a man, fully human, never to undo that, forever incarnate, though now in a glorified body. What sacrifice, what selflessness, what devotion and love for you. Thank you, Father, that we get to share in that love. That in your beloved we can, by your kindness, the riches of your mercy, through trusting in Jesus, we can share in your love and as your beloved, express your love. Father, grant through a work of your Holy Spirit, not because of our worth, our worthiness, our deserving it, our rights, our merit, but because of your love with which you loved us, Father, grant that we would comprehend, understand the love that you have for us in Christ, and that we would live it, that we would continue to be your divine manifestation of love as we await Christ's second coming. Father, grant by a work of your Holy Spirit that any this morning, any whom we have opportunity to speak with today, tomorrow, and tell of the news of God becoming a man, grant faith. In love, make more children your children. May we not be quick to use that word, Father, or assume that we're loving. Change us, that we would be, as it says in Ephesians again and again, to the praise of your glorious grace. In Jesus' name, amen.